You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
Shazam, gosh, all the Shazam, gosh, Shazam. Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see the impossible dream.
What an incredible man. What an incredible. Can you believe the talent this man had? Yeah, it is. By the way, it is December 2nd, 2017. You are on the Taxi Stand Hour. I'm John Shannon, and back in charge of the audio. Again, that was a beautiful clip, by the way, Ed. Mr. Ed Van Ness. Oh, yeah. That's pretty good stuff there, sir.
Giggity, 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 giggity. All right, all right, all right.
Hello.
You're just having way too much fun with that. That's probably why you've been so damn crabby doing this the last 2 months, because you just don't have your little toys there to...
I had my little toys. I just couldn't use them.
Well, there you go. That sounds like a personal problem, actually.
It is. Good morning, kids and kittens. I'm guessing it's a beautiful day here in South Florida. I have not stepped outside yet, but I'm guessing it's nicer than pretty much where most of you are. So we're expecting it to be in the high 70s today with an overnight low of 70. So all I have this to say, suck it, everybody. Good morning, John.
You know, nobody likes a sore winter. You realize that, right?
I know that, and I stopped caring about 1987.
We're enjoying weather that is with higher than normal temperatures here. So we've had highs up around brushing 50 in the last couple of days.
Brr.
But we're going to get our reality check here come Monday and Tuesday here. We're going to get rain that's going to transform over to snow. And it is actually, we're going to have temperatures that are going to be more typical of early December than early October.
So in other words, it'll be a graphic demonstration of exactly why the NFL is having the Super Bowl in Minneapolis in February in an outdoor stadium.
It's not an outdoor stadium.
What are you talking about?
It's not. No, that's the U.S. Bank Stadium is a dome stadium.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Since when?
It's always, well, it's only 2 years old, but.
I thought that was built as an open-air stadium.
No, that you're thinking of the baseball stadium is an open-air stadium.
Oh.
And I don't know, maybe if you've watched games, it looks like there's lots of light that shines in. They have a glass ceiling.
I have not. Well, there's a glass ceiling all over. I mean, but we can go into that at another time. I was not aware of that. I have not seen games from the fabulous Twin Cities, the jewel of the Mississippi, Minneapolis, the town you almost call home.
Almost, yes, almost. Because I live across the river.
You're deceptively close to the point that. Anyway, enough of me babbling on. Well, if we don't do me babbling on, that kills about half of the show. So,
yeah, no kidding, right? Oh my goodness, folks! No, so yeah, we are. For those of you who've lived in a cave, though, you're right. We are expecting the Super Bowl here in February.
You're not expecting the Vikings to play, but you're expecting. Actually, they might.
They might.
There's a good chance. They've got. Take that back.
If the playoffs were to begin tomorrow, they would be a second seed, only to the seemingly unstoppable Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, remember, the Eagles at some point then would have to come up against Tom Brady or Pittsburgh, in the Super Bowl. So I think we're going to have a very, very good postseason.
I think you're right.
Well, I think we've got some very evenly matched teams, but we can talk about that later in our football segment.
Because of course,
I got a surprise for you today.
You do?
Oh yes.
Did you finally beat me for a week?
I'm sorry. You're fading out there, John.
Lord.
A little surprise. We're going to throw a little twist on it today. And
you had to pick this week to do that, right?
Yeah. Oh, why wouldn't I?
Oh my God!
Because if I understand correctly, my broadcast partner here is feeling just a tad under the weather. Isn't that correct?
Oh, I tell you, I actually started coming on last Saturday, but I kind of soldiered through it a little bit more today. I had all I could do to get my fat ass out of bed.
Well, you whined about it pretty well. I mean, I was duly impressed. You almost sounded like me the amount you were whining about it. that was impressive.
Oh, and unfortunately, I've seen a bunch of stories, and I have, but I have done little to no homework on this week.
Before you go any further, I would like just one last thing on you and how you're feeling.
Too fucking bad, right?
Well, first off, with the mouth, let's calm that down.
I told you, talk to my agent.
I have, and he said calm it down.
He didn't tell me that, so.
Well, apparently, to get back to briefly to the point you brought up, why wouldn't I kick you while you're down? What better time? And speaking of kicking somebody while they're down, hello, Mike Flynn.
Oh.
Lock him up. You piece of crap.
So how many people do you think he's going to take down with him?
He's going to take – well, here's what I've been – here's my take on the whole thing. Within 6 months, most of that clan will be in orange jumpsuits. Ivanka will make it work. Jared's going to be a big hit in prison. Oh, they're going to love that sweet little piece of meat. And look, as many, many pundits have said in the past 24 hours – They didn't go after Flynn and give him a deal to get Little Fish. They're after everything in the court record. The court document yesterday, while it didn't name names, it spoke of senior campaign officials, senior White House officials, and very senior officials. Who was more senior than a national security advisor? It's a very, very small list of people. You've got your Jared Kushners, you've got your Steve Bannons, you've got your Rance Priebus, and you've got your Cheeto in charge. And I'm telling you, they're all coming down.
It's just going to be a matter of time, and it's going to be a matter of how much this this Republican-controlled Congress wants to pursue. I mean, we could have all the evidence in the world against these individuals. Do you think are they going to arrest the president while he's still in the Oval Office?
Oh, I can only hope.
I think we're going to have to pursue, they're going to have to pursue impeachment procedures, but is Congress going to be willing to do it?
I have a vision that they walk into the Oval Office with an orange jumpsuit and handcuffs. which, although to be quite honest, I believe he would take the perp walk because then he can be a martyr. And that would be the rest of his life. This is what he wants. He gets out of doing the job and he's persecuted. Look at me. I'm so great they came after me. Because remember, it always revolves around him. I see you, you know, your face going, what are you talking about? But this is how he thinks. Fortunately, you can't see me. we couldn't do a show without some kind of technical difficulty day. So right now, John can see me, but I can see him, but he can't see me. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So we've got that. We've got the tax bill. I was watching that on C-SPAN at 2 o'clock in the morning, and just disgusted, just absolutely disgusted at this bunch. You know, God bless the wealthy, because what are they going to do when all the poor people die and there's nobody to drive their cars and mow their lawns and cook their meals?
This is so for those of you who didn't catch the news, that the Senate finally did indeed pass the tax reform bill, if you will. I call it the I was told to not swear on the radio anymore, and I can't think of anything without throwing in a couple of bombs here.
Go ahead.
Oh, it is a complete fuck job to the lower middle class and the poor. And they figured out the way for the Affordable Care Act to basically implode, because once you take away the mandate that says that everybody has to be insured, you're going to have every 20 something there is, every 30 something there is, saying, fuck this, I'm invincible, I don't need to have insurance. So that's what they call that.
Well, keep in mind, we've also got to remember the way in which they rammed this thing down, with no debate, with no time to. There's video out there from at least one senator, I believe it's the honorable gentleman from Montana, and he was given 500 pages, a 400 or 500 page document, mere hours before the vote. And in the columns, on the margins, excuse me, you can see handwritten additions. And he showed one page where he said, I can read one or two words on this, but beyond that, I have no idea what it says. So even if some gang of spineless jellyfish just shoving this down the throats, the collective throats of the American public, to pursue and digest this, they wouldn't even wait till Monday and give the weekend for people to read it and figure it out. And of course, like everything else that goes through that food processor that is the Senate and the House, things were added on. The beer lobby got something added into it. I don't know specifically what, but and of course that's because some senator's son is a beer lobbyist, so of course that got attached to it. And you know, again, it's laden down with nonsense, and it's only going to cost the little guys money. But who cares about the little guys?
Absolutely, I'm thoroughly disgusted by it too. I mean, even people that you would have thought might have had a little bit of a conscience left. I guess John McCain done lost his conscience. Maybe he figured he got a better prognosis from his brain cancer or something, that he now decides he can be a douchebag again.
I was very disappointed at that. Very, very disappointed.
Mm-hmm. It's like somebody pointed out on Twitter, the man who's undergoing cancer treatment is basically making cancer treatment unavailable now for people who are not millionaires.
Well, yes, and also remember, and this can't be pointed out enough times, when you're in the House or the Senate, your health care is free for
your
life.
Health care is free.
So
for life, yeah, you're right. Even after your ass is no longer in the chamber, if you will.
So it has no direct effect on them. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this. This is similar to John and I deciding the traffic patterns in Nairobi, Africa. What the hell do we know about it? And we don't care. We're not there. Doesn't matter to us. But we'll make decisions on it anyway.
And yep. So Absolutely.
It's sad. It's sad that our country has come to this. And what's also sad is 2 years ago, I never spoke like this. I never spoke like this. I didn't care. It's whatever suit was in the Oval Office, did what they were going to do. I had somebody who was my political interpreter. He followed all this stuff, and I would go to him. I'd say, Harry, what do I need to know this week? Nothing. Okay, I'm good. And around election time, he would fill me in on what was going on. And that's it. But since this train wreck started 2 years ago, it's like I'm hooked. I'm a junkie now. I'm a junkie. They handed me a little plastic bag for free and said, here you go. Just try it. The first one's on me. Man. Now I'm watching politics. I'm recording Meet the Press every week, for God's sake.
Yep, you are definitely hooked.
I need help. I need rehab. I need to go to Dr. Vicente Fox's Mexican treatment
center. Yeah, exactly. I love him.
Yeah, he is.
I do. I probably more so now that he's out of office, but Vicente Fox is...
He's apparently very, very amusing in two languages.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, well, now, of course, we can, if we want our blood pressure to come down or maybe go up a little bit, we can continue to talk about the line of perverts who are being outed.
Can I tell you my story from this week? I've been a big Today Show fan for as long as I can remember.
Okay.
I mean, I literally grew up on the same street that they do that show from. Mm-hmm. I'm from 49th Street, which is Rockefeller Center is on 49th Street. I grew up a few blocks west. And from his public persona, I've always enjoyed Matt Lauer. The other morning, I happened to be up a little before 7 a.m. here on the East Coast. I usually record the show because if I wake up at 8 o'clock, I can watch it from the beginning and skip through the parts I don't want to be bothered with. So, okay, I'm up. I'll watch it live as it comes on. Well, I got to tell you, and this hasn't happened with any of these other well-known personalities, if you will, I felt it was a punch in the gut.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't cry or anything like that, but it was like, holy smokes. This was completely out of left field. I guess they all are, but I mean for the public. And unfortunately, it turns out he's got a pattern of this. And it's unfortunate. And I mean, NBC did what they had to do. I don't begrudge them that. They've got to protect themselves and their product and their company. And I mean, it's just, it's good that it's all coming out now. Not just on Matt Lauer, but that whole gang about that.
Yes, I have.
Now, unless I've missed more details on it, apparently he had the great crime of actually putting his hand on the back of a woman who was wearing a backless dress.
No, I didn't hear that part.
Now, there could be more to it. I'm not saying there's not, but that's, as far as I know at the moment, that is the incident. Again, there could be more. If you're on the Skype, kids, look us up on Radio TFI, because now that I'm in control, I can make the calls happen. That's Radio TFI. Search it. It's there.
Sure you can.
I can. It's magic.
Did you test it?
Nah.
That's what I was afraid of.
Don't need to.
Oh, okay.
Hey, look, I'm back in charge. I have a distinct echo in this living room. I can't wait to get, hopefully sooner than later, I'll get into the studio room. I still have stuff in there, boxes that have to be unpacked. I've got a humming refrigerator right behind me. And fortunately, at the moment, the kennel upstairs is quiet. The dogs aren't barking. I love my upstairs neighbor. She's great, but she's got no business fostering dogs. Anyway, how was your week?
Oh, you don't want to know what this week.
All right, actually, moving on then. Oh, go ahead.
No, money-wise, it was a decent week. But having to do this with this cold and not getting any sleep. And then, you know, what happened was, is probably the worst day of the week was on Thursday, where I felt like death warmed over. I did not feel like getting out of bed. And it wound up being the busiest day of the week. Well over $400 in income. I was completely nonstop most of the days.
Good.
Most of my rides were, you know, of the variety of, anywhere from $25 to $50.
Oh, you love those days. You take big chunks out of it.
I'd love to enjoy it.
Actually, it's funny you should. I'll go on a little bit. Tuesday, I had one of my better days. We had a busy day on my phone. I had five of my own customers. I did two jobs for a buddy of mine. Not only that, but I managed to use Uber's destination filter successfully twice to take me right where I needed to be, right when I needed to be there for my work. So they actually came in handy for a change. And I had what's been the best day since I left the cab business. I was over 300, so I was very, very,
nice.
Very, very pleased with that. And remember, I don't have the same expenses anymore. So,
No, absolutely. Your $300 day would probably be closer to a $450 to $500 day for me.
When you figure my expenses are probably $100 a day less.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, and again, as I say to people a lot when we talk about this, and we talk about it, I talk about it multiple times a day, on the days that I just, all I do is the Uber stuff, I scratch my head and wonder, how is it people make money like this? Yesterday, I was out all day, and I just barely broke $100 on a Friday.
Yeah.
And that was with some decent Uber rides, but, you know, I've got a new, I hesitate to use the word scam, but I've got a high school just two blocks from me.
Uh-huh.
So what I've taken to doing is I come out about 2 o'clock or so, and if I'm still there when school starts breaking, I just start taking the calls from the high school because I know it's going to be free money. How old are you? 16. Sorry, can't take you. How old are you? 17. Sorry, can't take you. on a good day, I'll knock out and pick up $15, $20.
I actually witnessed, I was doing a contract myself and actually witnessed a underage individual getting into an Uber. And I think this was a junior high I was picking up at, so... Yeah, you know, it's the first time I've witnessed somebody underage trying to actually get into
an Uber. The parents get highly irate when you refuse to take them. And it's always an interesting conversation because I'll say, ma'am, you have no idea who I am. You're putting your child in the hands of a stranger. Well, Uber says it's okay. Uber says a lot of things. And then I'll get called some kind of name, and to which point I'll respond, well, ma'am, there's two people on this phone call, and apparently only one of them cares about the safety of your child. And it ain't you.
Exactly.
You know.
And why is that important? Well, because, again, we have all kinds of reports of assaults. Oh, let's see. Well, we got... one out of Boston where a Lyft driver was arrested for assaulting and threatening two passengers. Dallas police are hunting for Dallas police are hunting for a 40-year-old Uber driver who sexually assaulted a 77-year-old passenger. So, it's getting to the point where you can go to the headlines and you can probably catch at least one or two instances. I'd say at least maybe three instances per week. And then did you hear this thing out of Milwaukee? It was brought to our attention by our friend Justin LaPlante, where a Lyft driver apparently had four passengers in the car. He heard one of them, or they heard him in the backseat playing around with something. Well, as it turns out, that what they had, what they were playing with, was a gun. So what does this guy do? He goes all Dirty Harry. He puts a car in park, jumps out, pulls out his gun, the gun that he's carrying, and now you've got four individuals scampering as he is shooting at them.
I didn't read the whole story, but...
Well, I'm totally paraphrasing that one.
So he opened fire on someone who hadn't opened fire on him.
Yes. And here's the thing. They corralled one of... I don't know if they got them all, but they corralled one of the people that was being shot at. And he was referred to in the media as the suspect.
Huh.
So here's the deal. I don't want guns in my cab, period. I don't want anybody. I'm not going to carry one. You don't care. You know, I don't want them in there, period. But having said that, this Lyft driver just assumed he was in imminent danger and decided to escalate the situation. He's not being called a suspect. Can you believe that?
Really? He opened fire.
Yeah.
Just to go back to, you kind of went off on a well-deserved rant there, but get it, you know, briefly touching base back on the whole parents thing, I just wanted to end that with, as I said, the conversation that goes, you know, you don't know who I am. Hello, kids. I'm driving under an assumed name. You have no idea how often I want to break that to people and say, oh, you think Uber's looking out for you? You know, I am not the person that you believe or Uber believes I am. I can't actually say the name I use, of course, but I mean, this is how stupid. I just wanted to put the cherry on that piece of ice cream. What else do we got? Oh, but while we're talking about Justin, let's do a little promo here for RideSafe World.
Yes.
I believe, isn't the address, what is the address? Is it RideSafeWorld.com?
I do believe that is correct.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're interested in doing your part and getting some of these unlicensed, unregistered, uninsured vehicles off the road, go to RideSafeWorld.com. Justin's there. He's doing a fantastic job up there in Wisconsin. I mean, he's really, really, really doing a thing up there. That I'm duly impressed with the amount of effort that he puts into this. But go to the website. There's a lot of information there and ways that you can help and get your toe in the water. You don't have to get horribly involved. It costs you nothing more than taking a photo every now and again from the comfort and safety of your car, or if you're out walking on the street, whatever. Jot down a license plate, enter it into the database. It's really not that difficult. And eventually, well, as you all know from, as I tell you all, almost on a weekly basis, Uber will be gone next year, by Halloween next year, but it can't hurt to build up the case against them. And by the way, speaking of the case against them, the judge in the case, the Waymo case, got mad at the Uber attorneys this week for not playing nice with evidence. The judge hates them now. The judge is ticked off. We're looking at jury selection in a couple of weeks, and then now the trial will finally begin in February. I was mistaken on where I thought that calendar, but they're saying now jury selection begins, I think, immediately after the holidays. They're looking for an early February start of the case. That's, you know, presuming Uber is still around. And speaking of which, and I want to take credit for this phrase, but I can't. I saw it on Twitter. Dara the K, the new CEO of Uber, apparently he is on an international apology tour because that's all he's been doing since he took the job. And talk about a lion's sack of beans. He knew about that data breach months ago.
Yeah, he did.
So,
he sure did.
Again, I say about him, he's either got a brilliant plan to pull this company out of the ditch it's in, and he's the smartest man on the planet, or they offered him such an amazing amount of money, he couldn't possibly say no, knowing that he was going diving headfirst into an overflowing outhouse full of doo-doo.
Well, by the way, hey, over in the UK, I understand that the village of, now, I don't know how big this this area is or how big this city is, but Swansea, Uber has been denied
a license. Down upon the Swansea River.
Yes, congratulations to them. And
good. Oh, you bypassed my whole joke there. I had a whole, there was a whole bit there. You ignored it.
I totally ignored it. I'm ignoring myself as I'm going here. So, please make it in. Do you have a mercy kill? Just make it in.
28 minutes, my friend. 28 minutes.
Jesus.
Just think, you've got the whole pick segment to go yet. That always perks you up.
Yeah. Would you like especially the way I've been kicking your ass around the table.
Would you like to do that now or would you like to wait?
Let's just cover a couple more things here real quick.
That's fine. Jeez, anything you want, Pookie. I'm with you.
Some positive news here. First off, also over in the UK, it's reported that a taxi driver, not an Uber, not a minicab, but a taxi driver saved a passenger, 13-year-old passenger from being abducted by a pedophile. They call it pedophile over there, armed with knives, tapes, and sleeping pills.
Oh, that was unintentional, but still.
When he became suspicious as she tried to meet a man at a train station.
Nice.
Nice. Good on him. This was from the Daily Mail in the UK, by the way, so I don't plagiarize a story there. Also, here in the good old US of A in Philadelphia, three local cab companies are going to form a strategic partnership. And basically what you're seeing there, and you're seeing this happen more and more across this great land, is you're seeing cab companies basically saying, okay, fine, you let these people operate. We are going to start doing the same thing. We are just going to start referring to ourselves as ride shares. We won't have to pay nearly as much out of pocket.
No, that's not what they're doing.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the Philadelphia instance.
Oh, okay.
No, the Philadelphia instance, basically, if I'm not mistaken, they are being brought together by one app, if I'm not mistaken.
Shared dispatch is what they're doing.
Shared dispatch, yes. So and their coverage, I think they said in the story, I think they said there that there's going to be over 700 cabs that are going to be available with one number, one app.
Right. There's one company, I could be wrong. I don't have the story in front of me. I believe the one company has 700 cars. The other two companies have a combined approximately 300 cars. And they're going to go to the bigger company's paint and color scheme. They're not going to be separate companies. I mean, they're not going to join. They're still going to be separate companies, but they're going to share. The cabs are all look the same, and they'll share the same dispatch.
Oh, I didn't. I saw the share the same dispatch. I didn't realize that they were going to share the same color scheme. Well, that's probably a good idea,
yeah, because,
too.
Because
they're all
one of the company owners was quoted as saying it's going to cost me about $1,000 per car, you know, for paint. But this is what, you know, this is the beginning of what needs to be done, a centralized. Look, we can, look, when Uber's gone, and they will be gone, you're still going to have centralized dispatch systems with Lyft and whoever else pops up. Taxi companies need to get on board that train. Somehow, some way. I understand the local regulations are a mishmash, as I was explaining to somebody yesterday. Heck, just here in Dayton, Broward counties, you've got, oh my God, we've had an explosion of new little cab companies. But if you look at the major cab companies in two counties, we've got about 15 or 20. Mm-hmm. And so now you've got to figure out a way to put them all on the same app that actually works, that people are willing to use. And we have a couple of apps being used in just this area right now, which confuses people. you know, it's the one thing that absolutely Uber did right. It's this one app. No matter where you step off that plane, it's the same app.
Exactly. And other cab, we've talked about this before too. Other cab companies have attempted that to try to bring other companies under their fold and whatnot. But everybody wants to be the boss. Everybody has the best, the best toy, the best.
Right.
And I hope you don't run into this in Philadelphia on a local level. I hope you don't start having local squabbling and what have you, because you need to pull together. You know, everybody's going to have to swallow a little bit of their pride and actually pull together if the industry indeed is going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So
you ain't just Whistler Dixie, partner.
Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and show off my skills again here.
Yay! What time is it?
It is that time.
It's time for Ed versus the Spread, our weekly look at the NFL and how not to make money with it. Now, let's review. Last week, Last week, I had a very good week. I was 11-5, kids. That's 11-5. I picked twice as many right as I got wrong. So now, let's go on to, let's see how we did last week here on the show. John, would you like to know how you did last week?
How did I do last week?
You did fine, sir. You were 2-1. 2-1. Which brings you to a magnificent... Oh, by the way, for the season, I'm currently at 96-84. 96 wins, 4 losses. John, for the season thus far, you're 18-15. 18-15. You're climbing over that 500 hump pretty well there, my friend. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Okay. I'm listening.
Okay. And now let's see. You did good. You picked Philly last week. You won with Carolina. You sucked wind with the Rams and the Saints, though. And
that one really surprised me, actually.
This is really unfortunate. Once again, I'm on this side of the screen with my information. It's all pixelated out. We got to get these gremlins fixed. Hard to say.
14-19 now in our challenge?
Oh, Jesus, he can see my screen.
Damn it.
Oh, my God.
You know, I didn't have the music. I didn't have to.
Rock and roll, baby.
Well, here's what we're doing this week, smart guy. You and I are going to pick the very same.
Now that's... Oh, well, yeah, lean off my back here.
That's right. I need some help. So we're going to start off with Denver at Miami. I'm taking the Dolphins and giving up 1 point. And that game's going to be right here in beautiful South Florida tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. John, how do you feel about that?
You know, I got to go with the fish.
They're not fish. They're mammals.
They're fish.
They're not fish. They're mammals.
I know. Whatever.
Now, coming up next is your Minnesota Vikings getting 3 points at the defending NFC champ Atlanta Falcons. I'm taking the Vikings and getting 3 points. How do you feel about that?
So Atlanta's a 3-point favorite,
yes,
huh?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think Atlanta's going to win the game, unfortunately. But I'm going to go ahead and go with the Vikings. I think bust the spread, if you will.
So, in other words, you believe Atlanta will win, but not by more than 3 points.
Exactly.
In that case, I'm going to change my pick on that game. Because I need some breathing room. Now,
okay.
Now, and what I consider just a fun game to pick, because I love it when this pops up, and they used to be in the same division. It's the Battle of the Bays. Tampa Bay, Green Bay. The Packers are home underdogs. They're home dogs in Lambeau. Go figure. I like the Buccaneers giving up 2 points. Mr. Shannon.
I'm going to go with the Packers on this.
You like the Pack getting 2 points?
I like the Pack. I'll take them and the 2 points. They're going to be playing in at Lambeau. Tampa is not that good of a team. I got to go with the Pack.
But it's the Battle of the Bays.
It's, yeah, so Tampon Bay. I mean, okay.
Now, do you remember when Tampa was actually in your division?
I do.
There you go. And that's something you folks. Boys and girls, that's Ed versus the spread for this week. We knocked it out pretty quick this week. Remember, we don't encourage gambling because if we were any good at it, we wouldn't be doing a one-hour internet radio show every week.
No, we'd just be doing it in Las Vegas.
There you go. All right, well, that takes care of that for the moment. And where else are we now? We've done football picks. We've done we talked about Jim Nabors. I got one Jim Nabors joke, and it's really bad taste. Would you like to hear it?
Go ahead.
Well, apparently, this week, since it's been learned that while Jim Nabors didn't... No, I'm sorry. That's a disregard that joke. I just told it wrong. Moving on. Pretend I'm not here. Just pretend I'm not here.
What do you... Every week, for Christ's sake. Oh. You know, going back to our wonderful list of sexual... By the way, I have decided that while Ed made a very wonderful... A bigly. he made a nice graphic this week. I wanted to make the point that now that these individuals who have all come up and all have been charged, well, I shouldn't say charged, but they've been accused of this, of sexual harassment, sexual deviancy, if you will, coming towards women. Well, in one case, and Kevin Spacey world, he was actually accused of molesting and raping young men, lest we forget that. But what other job is there for these people that they could possibly do? Well, guess what? They can come under the fold of a corporation who will actually understand their issues and put them behind the wheel of an executive Uber, because, you know, we don't want them driving anything but the best.
No, heaven forbid.
Yeah, so we are going to have now celebrity Uber drivers. So the maiden, I would have to say that the individual who is in car number one, if you will be none other than Harvey Weinstein.
Well, of course.
So Harvey Weinstein, he made the maiden voyage in celebrity Uber drivers.
This may not be a good time for Mr. Weinstein to be out and about, you know, with all those attractive trees out there at this time of year, Christmas trees and all that. So I'd also keep him away from Billy Bush. So now, yes. By the way, on a side note, now there's a guy who's took a royal screwing. Okay. Yeah, he acted like a bit of a jerk in that Access Hollywood tape. But the nitwit who said all the bad stuff is president. How does that? And Billy Bush is out of a job. He had just started a job on the Today Show. Anyway, so Weinstein. See, now I was thinking more along adding new personalities here to the Radio TFI lineup. We've got a morning crew with Matt Lauer and Charlie Rose. You've got nighttime guys. Kevin Spacey would be perfect for an overnight shift or chef, depending on your point of view. And I think we can plug these guys in any number of places and just have a full day. And
well, although I will have to have one founding member of the celebrity Uber drivers, if you will. And the only reason I didn't put them higher up on the list is because Uber wasn't in existence when these individuals were doing their thing. Used of it. And so I'd have to say the founding member would have to be Mr. Woody Allen.
Well, there you go. Well, he did make the He made the bottom row of the squares.
So, I wasn't paying that much attention to this story when it broke.
By the way, him and Rory Moore are gonna drive past high schools together.
Yeah,
Moore's gonna give Woody Allen a ride to the mall. That's the joke I was looking for.
There you go. So now help me with my memory here when it comes to Woody Allen.
Yeah.
So apparently he married, who was his wife at the time? Who was his, I don't even know his stepdaughter, who he wound up marrying.
They were living in the same household. She was incredibly young. She was a teenager. 14,
wasn't she?
What's that?
14, wasn't she?
I can't swear to it, but she was young. She was definitely under 20 years old. There's no question about it. I mean, it's just
He wound up marrying.
Yes.
Marrying her.
Oh, yeah.
Are they still together by chance? Do you know?
To my knowledge, I don't really follow it, but to my knowledge, they are. You know, it's. I'm not about to get into the psyche and the mind of people. Everybody's different. Everybody has different tastes. You like vanilla. I don't like chocolate. You don't like vanilla. But it goes back to, in the words of Brigham Young, if you're going to bring them young.
Yep, exactly.
In this state,
and the other one in that corner square, lest we forget. I had that all mustered up until my voice started going.
Pudding pops. Give me some pudding pops.
Yes, exactly. Mr. Bill Cosby. We forget about him.
Dr. William H. Cosby.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, in one of the squares, we forgot the aptly named Mr. Wiener. No longer Representative Wiener.
He's a representative of Cell Block D.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Now, by the way, it took some doing and a lot of holding my puke down, dealing with the image of Anthony Wiener that I put on that graphic.
I saw that. Oh, my God.
That was
you
not
put
easy.
Him in a Burt Reynolds pose.
Well, he was already in the Burt Reynolds pose. I just confiscated the picture. By the way, to all the wonderfully talented artists that created these images that I co-opted for my own personal use, I want to thank you and apologize. There was no intent to demean your work, but I don't draw. I'm better at just cutting and pasting.
He's great at Photoshop, folks.
That's me. That's Mr. Photoshop. Mr. Photoshop. So go ahead, continue down the list.
Well, and then, of course, there is this one. I can't tell you how disappointed I am about the Al Franken story.
Yes.
But if you look at Al Franken, you kind of look at the way, kind of listen to the way he talks and what have you, kind of go through his mannerisms. You know, we've seen him firsthand up here in Minnesota. As a matter of fact, I briefly met him in a gathering in St. Paul. I think that was before the 2010 election, I believe. Yeah, it was 2010 election. I met him briefly, and he did kind of come off as creepy. Now, some things you just kind of, well, that might just be his personality.
That could just be residual show business creepiness.
Yeah, that could very well be. But now he has a couple more accusers coming forward. Here's the thing. I want to believe that other than the tweeting incident, I want to believe that these are all drummed up, just somebody trying to have their 15 minutes of fame. But then again, one of the people is actually going anonymous, reporting it as anonymous, which bothers me in its own way, too. You know, but whenever you say you don't recall these instances, if you've done something wrong, you know, I'm 54 years old. I've been dealing with the public for over Jesus Christ, over almost 35 years now. You know, when you have that many brushes with the public and you do something wrong, you can't tell me that you don't have any recollection of the situation. You might remember, you probably remember it at the time. You probably didn't think it was wrong. I mean, let's face it. We are living in a different day and time, you know? So,
well, keep this in mind. Your memory, it works not unlike a computer. You give it the proper input and it will retrieve. You never, as a teacher once told us, you never forget, you just fail to remember. Stop and think about those times where out of clear blue sky, you will have a crystal clear memory of when you were a kid. It's just the correct amount of triggers that said, go exactly. Here, go there, go rarely forget. Again, you very rarely forget anything. And granted, somebody like him, he meets a lot of people, but these situations can be winnowed down to, oh, we were here, we were there, we were doing this, we were doing that. Now, you put that out there, and that let that percolate in his mind for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. And eventually, he'll get a clearer picture. I don't normally buy the I don't recall thing.
Oh.
I can honestly say, other than when I was very young and I don't remember anything from being very young, I can honestly say there are 2 weeks of my life I have no clue about. The 2 weeks that I was in the coma. Other than that, I am able to recall at least partial details of every instance that's ever been described to me. Oh, remember we were here, we were there. Yeah, I do kind of remember that. Let me, you know, and I flashed in my head the other day the image of a pair of brothers that I used to know. When I was in my early 20s, we used to hang out, go to the bars, blah, blah, blah. And I hadn't thought about these guys in 30 years. And I don't know what triggered the memory, but lo and behold, there it was. Memory's a very funny thing. And a funky thing, too.
Yes.
Thanks for the memories.
Yes, indeed. So then, of course, we have the denier-in-chief, Judge Roy Moore.
Oh, there you go.
And now I also am seeing that he's regained his lead in the polls.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. This, let's face it, he's not going to drop out of the race.
No.
And I really don't want him to. I want this to, this is square on the voters of the state of Alabama.
The great state of Alabama.
This is on you guys. Mm-hmm. You want to send this guy to the Senate? This will be an indictment on the people of the state of Alabama. This guy who decides to put up this big moral front, anti-gay, anti-this, you know, he's trying to take moral high ground here, where he has no high ground to stand on. So we're going to see what happens there. Now I'm gonna completely destroy this, but apparently Jimmy Kimmel sent his comedian partners to some speech that Moore was getting. Was that at a church, or am I?
Oh, I didn't know that he sent people there, but I know there was a little Twitter exchange between them.
Well, I forget exactly what was said, but basically Roy Moore said something. Well, why don't you come do this? Well, if you're going to attack Christianity or something like that, why, you know, come down to my church and do it to, or come down here and do it to my face. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, Jimmy Kimmel said, well, let me know when something Christian actually happens,
right,
and
right.
I'll be happy to be there.
There you go. And he's not wrong. I mean, unfortunately, Roy Moore is the worst kind of Christian, which also seems to be the most common type. It's
hypocritical.
We love everybody except the people that aren't exactly like us.
Exactly.
But other than that, we love you to pieces. Wait a minute. You believe in this? Well, we'll keep you at an arm's length. And that's pretty much, you know, they're all good, God-fearing people on Sunday morning. But where are they on Saturday night? And you just know somewhere in Roy Moore's closet, besides the little girls, there are little Girl Scout uniforms just his size. I am confident of that.
I don't want to laugh about that because that is totally sad, but yeah, exactly.
And it's probably totally true.
And of course, we have
from Uncle Ed.
Oh, and then of course, numero uno, head chief, celebrity Uber driver
in the center square.
In the center square, the pussy grabber himself,
the Cheeto in charge.
Yes, indeed. Well, I don't know how this manages to get swept under the rug so well. I mean, he had there were lawsuits pending. There were so many things that were happening, and suddenly now he's the president, and all this stuff just seems to be swept under the rug, except for things that you have audio evidence of. He's actually denying? He says that wasn't him in that Hollywood video or Hollywood
Access Hollywood.
Access Hollywood. That wasn't him. They made that up.
Real quick, but while we have a couple of minutes, I had a group of six in my van the other day, three retired couples, all in their 60s. And so we were chatting about, they were going to a restaurant, and I was, you know, teasing them a little bit, doing my thing. And it came out that they were, somebody announced very proudly, oh, we all voted for Trump. Oh, okay. Well, that's because we're Republicans. I said, well, you know, you can be a Republican and not vote for Trump. And then you could see it start to burble. And I asked one question. I said, well, you got to admit, he could stop with the lying. The lies are just outrageous every day. And they said, what lies? Name one. I said, you know what? I'm going to hit the brakes right here. There's no point in going any further with this conversation. You don't see it. I'm not going to be able to show it to you. Not in the amount of time we have left. Have a nice night. Enjoy your dinner. That's where that stops right there.
Uh-oh. And the problem with this is meanwhile, we have these, North Korea has fired another missile that apparently can actually has the capability of reaching all the way to, Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. I've been joking about not every day is a good day that I wake up and the sky's not on fire, and that's not even a guarantee anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we have these other issues. And, you know, here's the way I looked at it, this relationship with North Korea through the last administrations, probably dating back all the way to Jimmy Carter, for that matter. The North Koreans have always been provocateurs, but they're not.
It's that time. I lost you. I can't hear you now. Can't hear you. Well, I can't hear John, so I'm going to have to close the show here. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us for this week. We enjoy you coming by. We appreciate it. I'm Ed Van Es. John Shannon is there, I promise you. He's there. He just doesn't. He can't hear us. We can't hear him. Anyway, for John Shannon, adios. And for me, see ya!
Hey, young man.
Yeah.
Listen, I've seen you hanging around my house and
there's something
I want to talk to you about.
What is it, Mr. Bates?
Well, listen here now.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it this way.
Yeah.
Was it you who did the pushing? Put the stains upon the cushion. Footprints on the dashboard upside down.
Say what?
Was it you Bronco Bill, been messing with my daughter Jill? If it was, you'd better leave this town.
Well,
what do you got to say?
Yes, 'twas I who did the pushing. Put the stains upon the cushion. Footprints on the dashboard upside down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But since the messing with your daughter, I've had trouble passing water. So I guess we're even all around. Around.
Why you? Come over here.
Radio TFI.